This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello and welcome to the second installment of You Don't Know Billy Jack. My name is Drew, and I am joined, of course, by Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you. Good. And you may have noticed, if you listened to the first episode, that I had to devise an intro where I said the actual name of the show, because I didn't have a name for the show the first time we recorded, and so I just blurted something out.
That's right.
But the name of the show is, in fact, You Don't Know Billy Jack. Jordan, do you know Billy Jack?
I do not know Billy Jack.
Billy Jack Haynes? Does that sound familiar to you?
It does not sound familiar.
It should sound familiar to you because, if you remember, I recorded some sound clips for you to use during, I think, an acoustic show.
Okay.
Of a wrestler talking and saying things.
Was he talking about how he was abused?
Yes. That is Billy Jack.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in fact, you do know Billy Jack.
Apparently I do. I couldn't use that stuff, by the way.
Why not?
It was just a little too deep.
Well, okay. Anyways, we're coming to you live today from the body dump.
Yeah.
We've been sequestered into a crude shed here. But anyways, we're back for another match. We're ready for this one. Now, this match, Jordan, I'll introduce to you. You have no idea which one this is.
I'm completely unaware.
Okay, so this match is, in fact, it's a 5-on-5 gauntlet match from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The date on it, 4/19/1984. The teams are Antonio Inoki, Kengo Kimura, Nobuhiko Takada, Tatsumi Fujinami, and Yoshiaki Fujiwara versus the invading Ishin-Gunden team of Animal Hamaguchi, Isamu Teranishi, Kuniaki Kobayashi, Riki Choshu, and Yoshiaki Yatsu. So, I don't think we really have too much to talk about before we get started.
I will just need to know, yeah, when we get in, the nature of what this even is, I suppose, but...
Yes.
This would be the proverbial Billy Jack that I do not know.
Correct.
Okay.
So, let's get started.
Do you need to let them know that we're wearing the same...
We are wearing the same t-shirt, the same Black Flag shirt, of which I was given last week,
yeah,
or last episode.
There was a size mix-up, so now we each have one.
Yes, and we're wearing the same shirt.
Okay.
Very proud. All right. Here we go. So remember, we'll just watch the match live.
Okay.
And just say, we'll just talk about it as it happens. And then afterwards, I'll have a couple questions for you.
Perfect.
All right. Here we go. And this is a long one, I will say. I think this is the longest match we're going to watch.
Okay.
So we're going to try to keep it as quick as possible.
Let's get ready to rumble. See, I'm getting the hang of it.
You sure are. Okay. So right off the bat.
It's quite a mob scene there.
Yes.
And what city is this in?
This is Tokyo.
Okay.
So this would be known as Sumo Hall.
Okay.
I was there in March when
okay.
I was. Yeah. And so the entire first floor is sumo ball. You can kind of see, it's hard to see, but you can see little metal right
uh-huh,
there. So what that is, they're sumo boxes, they're called. So they're square boxes, carpeted boxes, mm-hmm, where you sit down.
Huh.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
You just sit cross-legged. And they'll do, like back in like the old days when wrestling was real, real, real popular, they would do four to a box. One, two, three, four.
Crazy.
They don't do that now. Now it's mostly just two.
Yeah.
And they're pretty miserable to sit in, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of like the old shows are or the big shows that are held there are like 5 hours long, six hours long. So it's like, you know, that's long. So anyways, what we're doing here, we're starting out, that's Tatsumi Fujinami right there.
Okay.
That's Kuniaki Kobayashi.
Okay. This seems instantly already a lot more, like, choreographed.
Okay.
Almost.
Yeah.
Like, the moves are more emphatic, and it just seems a little bit more theatrical immediately.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So, I guess a little bit of background on this match. Well, I don't know. Should I just tell you that, or do you even care?
No. Yeah. I mean.
Well, do you? No. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So, what's like? Is this like a Royal Rumble?
Okay. So what this is? It's called a gauntlet match. What a gauntlet match is so there's two teams. In this case, 5-on-5.
Okay.
Two men start. When one person loses, they leave the ring, and the next member of that team comes in.
Okay.
And so...
And the winner stays in.
The winner stays in.
Until he loses.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So that's what we've got going here.
What's the nature of a team? How does a team come to be?
So it's like... So in the case of the Ishin-Gundin team, it's led by someone named Riki Choshu.
Mm-hmm.
He was seen as like an invading wrestler into New Japan, and so he had this crew of people that he brought with him, or that he got aligned with him. So that's the nature of that team. The other team is like the.
Like the heroes? Or?
Yeah, like the people who are, like, defending New Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, do you know what the NWO is?
No.
The New World Order?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was, like, a very famous, you know, wrestling, like, faction in the 1990s.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. It, Stone Cold and that, or...?
No, so that was a different company.
Oh, okay.
So it was Hulk Hogan when he became a bad guy.
Oh, God. Yeah. that was quite ridiculous, as an outsider.
Yeah. So it was him, and then... Oh, he was the third guy, the two original people. Do you know Razor Ramon? Does that sound...
Yeah, yeah.
And then Kevin Nash, does that name sound familiar?
No.
Or Diesel?
Not really. No,
okay.
No.
Well, yeah. So Razor Ramon, him and this other guy, Kevin Nash, they came over from WWF and invaded.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. A promotion, WCW.
Okay.
But this has been going on for a long time. More or less, it actually started in Japan.
Huh. Interesting.
And like the guy Riki Choshu, so the way. Are you able to pay attention while I'm just talking?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's highlighting what I'm seeing anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah. So like, the way Japanese wrestling was initially ran and what it was built on were Japanese heroes going up against foreign invaders.
Interesting.
This is like post-World War II,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like... imperialism and all that.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's like, that's what a lot of the feuds and kind of the business was built on.
Okay.
This guy, Riki Choshu, he was like one of the first big, like, because they would have matches again. Japanese wrestlers would have matches against each other, of course, but in terms of like big invading, you
like
know,
a,
someone who's
like
seen,
swarm,
yeah,
like a...
who's seen as like an invader,
yeah, right,
or like a real outsider coming in. Riki Choshu was like the first one,
okay,
to do that, and it actually set up, it kind of set the template for how New Japan operates, more or less, up until now.
Okay.
Like there's free throughout, I mean their history from then until now, 1984, 1983 until now. There's been, you'll see a lot of different interpromotional feuds or different companies coming in and feuding with the the homegrown like talent
and stuff. And that template was set by this guy. Yeah.
Yeah, who we haven't seen yet.
Okay.
But yeah.
And I take it that whole thing, it kind of is crystallized in this match. Is this like?
Yeah.
It's pretty important in that way too.
Yeah. So I've seen highlights of I haven't done a real deep dive on New Japan Pro Wrestling, like 1980 to 1985. I've seen the big matches, but I haven't really combed through a lot of the heavy stuff. But like the guy in the black, Tetsumi Fujinami, he's one of like the big stars of the 1980s in New Japan. And he's considered to be one of like the very best of all time.
You're gonna have to excuse my ignorance when I refer to like, oh, that guy and that or this or that, because I'm not, the names are difficult for me to
remember. No, you're a racist. That's fine. I understand that. Believe me, this is not news to me. Believe me. I've known you for a long time.
Just as long as that's clear, I guess.
It's very clear to me. Believe me. So what have you been observing so far?
I mean, I guess we'll kind of hold it. I can kind of reference the last match.
Yeah.
It feels more polished and professional. It seems like there's more presentation involved. And these guys are, like, ripped, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the other guys look strong, obviously, but just from a physical standpoint, like, these guys are really, you can tell they're just, like, really athletic and... but yeah, the crowd has been, the clamor has been there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They were chanting at one point. I didn't know who they were chanting for, but
yeah. So the for Fujinami. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the crowd is something, because I turned this up a little loud. The crowd is something to keep track of throughout this whole match.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just went crazy, because they got the first guy.
Yeah, so Fujinami wins. He beats Kobayashi with a German suplex.
Okay, so, is that pre-planned? Like, I understand a lot of stuff is determined, right? They're not like, I'm just wondering, like, is it like, I'm going to finish you like this?
Back then...
Because that looked pretty... That looked pretty smooth, how that all happened.
Yeah. Back then, it could have been, or it could have just been, I'm going to win.
Okay.
And then they would have decided, you know, who, while they were wrestling, they would have then decided how they would have, finished
like
the match.
Like it's coming now or whatever. Yeah.
So that's very different than, you know, how it is now.
Is it pretty dialed?
Yes. I mean, most everywhere, but especially in, like, in America.
Is there anyone that goes rogue ever and, like, deviates? They just wouldn't air it, right?
If it's on WWE, no way.
Okay.
No way. Like, that doesn't happen. I don't know. Like, the thing is it wouldn't be that big of a deal if it were like, okay, the match is pre-planned out, so I'm going to beat you with, this move.
Right.
But during the match, they decide to amongst themselves, oh, I'm going to beat you with this move.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be that big of a deal in a lot of other promotions.
Yeah.
Actually, a recent example of that is...
Dude, hold on. The ref is, like, pulling the guy's hair.
Yeah. So, okay.
that was really kind of sketchy.
Yeah. So this here is Isamu Teranishi in the white.
Okay.
And so they've had matches and interactions before in the past.
There's beef. I mean, they went right when the bell rang. Yeah. They just went at it. They just went for each other.
Yeah. Which is that's really part of the genius of this match and these types of matches. What they can do is that you can get these mini, you can get like
a, feuds. And,
yeah, an overarching story, but then you get these little mini matches.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, how much time has lapsed between the end of that last fight? Because there was like a jump cut with the editing.
Yeah, good question. Probably a minute or two.
So it's like, it's going like right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, anyway, so back to what I was saying as far as like pre-planned things and all that. So
right.
Recently, a couple years ago, there was a match in Japan, at New Japan, the same promotion, at the Tokyo Dome, the big show of the year for New Japan, who's the second biggest company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they have one big show. It's called Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
That's the one. Well, I mean, I stay up late for a lot of them, but that's like it's around New Year's.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I
I take off work, and I, you know.
You do a whole thing about it.
Oh, it's a big deal. Yeah. But anyways, there was a match. The main event of that show a couple years ago was a match between two guys that we're actually going to watch a different match in their kind of series together, where they were wrestling. And the match was supposed to end at one point, but the kind of the guy who books everything in the back, he sent a message via like an in-ear microphone or something to the ref, or somehow, I don't know how they do it in New Japan.
Yeah.
Anyways, he sent a message out that said, you guys just keep going.
Oh.
And... Is it because, like, the crowd was,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, because everyone's feeling it, the euphoria. It's kind of brutal.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but I mean...
But, yeah, that's a real promoter, right? Like, that's playing the people and the whole thing. And...
Yeah. But, like, I don't know when the big changeover was, but, like, Stan Hansen, you know? That's my guy.
Your guy, yeah.
So, in his book, which you gave me...
That's right. And the guy won't stop emailing me.
Yes, wonderful. the guy who wrote the book, right?
Yeah.
Scott Teal?
Yes. Yeah. Seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. So what Stan Hansen talks about a lot is, and a lot of guys do, but how they didn't pre-plan anything. They said, they just thought, okay, this person's supposed to win.
And you just go.
That's it, you just go.
Go on each other.
Yeah. And we'll see matches like that coming up.
Okay.
Where it's a similar thing.
I'm noticing the ref a lot more in this match.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a third character.
Yeah.
The other match we watched, dude, I honestly like don't remember anything about the ref, really.
Right, yeah. Which you could argue is a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I would think. You know, in a sports setting, I know when I watch baseball or whatever, I don't want to know that the umps are even there.
Yeah. But what that does in this case, you could argue, is it, you know, they're trying to, you know, stay within the rules. There's a lot, whereas there's no rules, essentially, in that last match.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of rules this way. So you by the ref interacting the way he is, it kind of gets over that sense of rule breaking
or
personal, personal nature, and like the links that these two are willing to go.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your comments going on, or what are your thoughts on like kind of this interaction that we've been seeing?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know that I would have been as, I would have been tuned that there's like a personal feud here, but this match is a lot more violent and like immediate than the last one,
mm-hmm.
and it's. Like, these guys are just kind of going on each other.
Yeah.
And there's just been a lot of holds. Okay. I don't know the technicalities, but, like, where you're trying to get the guy to submit or, like, by bending his hand back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd's pretty live. They've been there this whole time, really. Yeah. So who's the invader in this?
So was it Taranishi right now? He's been focusing on the hand.
Yeah.
You see, and he was just headbutting Fujinami's wrist and hand.
I didn't see that.
So the invader would be Taranishi.
Okay.
So did you see the hits there?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Nothing struck me really.
Like, did that look more intense or violent or real than like a Hulk Hogan?
It did. Thing? Yeah, yeah. A lot of this does. I mean, especially when you contrast this with that one you made me watch, where I think it was John Cena fought The Rock.
Yes.
And it was just really lame and, like, phoned in.
Yes.
And they were just kind of pacing each other the whole time because The Rock was, like, winded.
Yes. Yeah.
This is not that.
No.
These guys are, like, going on each other the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I'm also kind of noticing is he just rammed that guy with his head in the stomach. It kind of feels like the announcers also know the tempo of the match.
Uh-huh.
You know, in ways that I don't. Like, I can hear their voices, like, getting more intense as something's about to happen.
Yeah. That's just an observation, or...
Yeah, it was hard because of the last match. I mean, that's hard for me to, like, put them up against each other, but this seems to just have a little more energy like that. Again, yeah. More characters involved. The announcers, the ref.
Yeah. The Lucha production, especially in the 80s, like I said, it's pretty jarring, and, like, a lot of times it's like, it's kind of muffled, or it's kind of monotone versus the muffled crowd or wrestler miking, you know? It's tough sometimes. So something you should note there is Fujinami's. You see the hold that he's in?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a hold that was popularized by Ricky Choshu, who's kind of the leader of the opposite team. So he, you know, he just beat one of his teammates.
Got it.
With his hold.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're adept, like, if you were following these people, you would have, like, you would have recognized that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that team is still strong.
Yes.
He hasn't been beaten yet.
Yeah, he hasn't been beaten yet.
Oh, but the other thing is with, like, the Hulk or the Rock and John Cena and that. Those guys, dude, he just grabbed this huge bouquet, like, really hard. Like, really aggressively. This guy has a little bit more style and swag, swagger.
Yeah, so the Yatsu. Yoshiaki Yatsu.
Yatsu? Okay. Yeah. That guy is really big.
Fujinami?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's big.
He's just is really thick.
Yeah. Yeah, and he, like I said, he's considered by a lot of people to be, you know, one of the very, very best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He went, because there's a junior division and then a heavyweight division.
Okay.
So he started out in the junior division in the late 70s, real early 80s, and then and was, like, great. Great, great, great. And then graduated.
Oh.
Or rather...
He's, Drew is doing a motion of putting a needle into his butt.
Graduated to the to the heavyweight division. But and so he's like incredible as a heavyweight too. And that's there's not very many people like that.
Sure, yeah, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
So who's the man with the long, like, the hippie hair with the beard, or I mean the mustache.
Yatsu. Yoshiaki Yatsu. Yatsu. Yeah, okay. So tag team partner of Ricky Choshu for a long time.
Okay.
And they have Ricky Choshu eventually invades the other Japanese promotion.
That's cool.
All Japan okay. Pro Wrestling is called. So there's New Japan and there's All Japan.
Okay.
Of course, now there's New Japan, All Japan, Big Japan, and Real Japan.
Oh my gosh.
But, yeah, so he eventually invades All Japan, and Yatsu goes with him.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have, there's a lot of, like, really great matches and stuff there. Because it's a similar thing. He's, like, an outsider, and...
Right.
And you'll see him, like, he's like, real charismatic, and he's just got, like, a real aura about him.
Yeah.
And the people really love him.
So that they all keep going on that guy's hands, his wrists.
Yeah, so he's got an injury now, so they're all targeting that.
Okay, that's evident. This guy seems to be a bit more charismatic. Yatsu?
Yeah.
He's kind of... What I was going to say prior to him is it's kind of interesting that they haven't really acknowledged the crowd, you know? Like, again, think of the swagger, the Hulk Hogan or John Cena, like doing the hand waving to the, getting the crowd going. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
They haven't really. This guy has been the only one I've seen to kind of do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very minimal, even still, but
yeah. So that's part of like the Japanese style. So the kind of one of the taglines about Japanese wrestling is that they treat it. Well, it's more serious over there. They treat it more like a sport.
Got it.
So that's which is kind of true, but like not really. You know, like if you look like.
So wait, he got hung up in the ropes.
Yeah.
And so is he disqualified because he's out of the ring?
I think it was considered a count out.
I see.
Yeah, I think. I'm not positive, but I think that was a count out.
Okay.
Yeah. So Yoshiaki Yatsu, so he wins, but he didn't end up pinning anyone.
And that was also the first time anyone had really been out of the ring in general in this whole, like, the other one, they were going on each other outside the ring, like, the whole time, with the grandmas there, and...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that, it's like a different presentation. You know, they're looking more serious and less cartoony. And, but
yeah, that definitely comes across.
Yeah, but again, that's kind of a misnomer for a lot of it too. Because I don't know, there's if you watch like all throughout Japanese wrestling, it's a lot of the same stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Like in New Japan, there is. You know, a few years later, there was guys leaving because they thought it was too cartoony or too much like WWF.
I see.
You know, so.
So who are we dealing with now?
So this is, his name is Nobuhiko Takada. Yeah. So he's like a young guy at this point.
And, like, of all these people we've seen and are seeing, I mean, are any of them still involved in the whole thing?
Yeah,
like, in some way?
So, Fujinami still wrestles. Another guy that we'll see soon still wrestles as well. It's pretty minimal, you know,
because
they're very old.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, a guy we'll see coming up here is like 69 or 70, and Fujinami is close to that.
Shimony.
So,
a lot of streamers have been going around at certain like strategic points.
Yeah, when they announce,
the
name, yeah,
huh?
So that's like a Japanese thing too.
Okay,
it's cool. So, and they'll do like if it's a big like a retirement match, for instance.
Huh.
Tons of people will throw the streamers, and it's really really cool because you just see them coming in from everywhere, you know.
So, being that they take this more seriously, or whatever the thought is on that, can you explain? So kayfabe or whatever, can you explain that as an idea, and then. Can you also tell me, like, what their version of that is for this. Like, do they have a life, a double life, like the guys here do, and do the whole drama and the stories and all that?
Yeah, so kayfabe, the general concept of kayfabe is people inside of wrestling keeping, you know, not exposing any of the secrets of pro wrestling and treating it as though it were real.
Including the stories and the dramas. And
the good, yeah, and the good guys and the bad guys. So, like, back in the early days, you would have, there would be rules like, there's two separate locker rooms for good guys and bad guys, and they can't be seen outside together. You know, a good guy and a bad guy can't be seen together outside. And
got it. Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, they're supposed to. It's called keeping kayfabe. Okay. They're supposed to act as though everything that's going on inside on the TV show and inside the ring is real. Outside the ring.
Okay.
And there's a real extreme versions of it. So, like,
like, some guys go crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So there's a promotion called Mid-South Wrestling. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was one of the old territories.
Okay.
And the promoter, the owner of that, Bill Watts, his name was, who's like a psychopath.
Everything about this already sounds really shady.
Yeah. So his thing was, if you were a bad guy and you got in a fight, you know, a bar fight or something, and you lost, he would fire you. And conversely, like, if you were a baby face, a good guy,
uh-huh.
and you were like a young, good-looking baby face, you know, like you like had to have sex with like girls who would like come on you and stuff.
Man.
It's genius.
Dude, I don't know what I'd call that. But these guys have been just slamming on each other. Like, they've been exchanging these body throws.
Yeah.
And the crowd is amping it all up.
Yeah. So anyway, kayfabe in terms of Japanese wrestling, so, like, these guys, they're using their real names, for instance. So it's not, I mean, it still exists. And it exists in ways that wrestling fan, like Western or English speaking wrestling fans or non-Japanese wrestling fans, that they still don't even know about. Me included, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, no one really knows what's going on.
Sure.
People say that they have, like, their inside sources and they know what's going on in Japan, but they don't really.
Mm.
So it's a whole different, it's the same, but it's different. I mean, they're not having to, like, keep up appearances like they're really Hulk Hogan or they're some part of the thing. But, you know, they're so it's very, we're seeing some real heavy back and forth strikes.
Yeah, they're striking on each other's faces pretty hard. And then he ripped the guy's, like, eyebrow or something.
Yeah. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just kind of intriguing. That concept is really intriguing to me.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious how it translates across these other cultures that have similar programs.
Yeah.
But, like, so if you're John Cena or whatever, you have to act like that at all times. Like, if he's...
Nowadays, kind of, but it's not as much.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's, like, in movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah.
You can't really, but...
Yeah, and it's like... So they all the wrestlers, they have, like, Twitter accounts and social media presences. Yeah. And so it's kind of... There's a lot of blurring the lines between, oh, is this my character saying this, or is this me saying this, and mm-hmm. it's... I don't know, people, it's kind of a whole different, it's a very weird area that honestly I don't try to, like, think about it, like, I don't care about it really too much, but, like, John Cena, he's still a professional wrestler, and so he's not quite showing you who he really is, but he kind of is, and he's in these movies, and they're acknowledging that, we're performing, and, you know, all this stuff.
So. I mean, I think that's one of the more, like, intriguing and potentially lucrative aspects of the field. Because, I mean, no, what else in entertainment has that?
Yeah.
Where right, it's
yeah.
like, it's insane.
Yeah, of
you
course.
You know, like,
yeah.
where these guys are characters to the degree that you don't really know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
Outside of the ring
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, how you told me the McMahon's daughter married another, like, a wrestler, and they own, they're part of the whole,
right,
like, ownership now, and it's like, I don't know how much of that's actual.
Sure, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, because it's, it all sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. So she married a guy, Triple H.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that,
and is that a legal marriage?
It's they are actually married.
See, like,
yeah.
that's pretty genius that I am questioning.
Sure, yeah.
If
yeah.
that's even a real...
Yeah.
Or if that's just a gimmick. Like.
Yeah. But they, like, they did a wedding on TV as well, like a fake one a long time ago. All this, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
yeah. So a little information on this Nobuhiko Takada.
Mm-hmm.
He went on just later in the year. He left New Japan, and he had, you know what UFC is, of course.
Yes.
MMA.
Yes.
So he went on, along with a few other people, left New Japan, and he became kind of one of the innovators of UFC, or MMA, rather, mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of a poster boy for this company. I don't know how deep I want to get into this, but UWF was the company that they formed.
Okay.
And it was based on more martial arts. So... the you see the strikes that they were doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a little bit of that, but a lot more real hard kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And submissions, and like martial arts style, and like jiu-jitsu style submissions and things like that.
Hmm.
He became kind of one of the poster boys for it. And the what's really funny is that he's actually like a terrible martial artist and like a terrible actual... It's called a shooter, being a shooter.
Okay.
If you're like a legit... tough guy and like a legit wrestler and stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's like terrible.
Like industry wide known as terrible.
Yeah, yeah. And there's, I mean, we could get real deep on this, but you know who Ken Shamrock is?
Yes.
Well, no, not. Do you know who? Have you heard the name Gracie?
No.
Okay, so that's. That's who is the family that essentially brought jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu and UFC. They were a big, like, they kind of helped start that. And
okay.
they essentially invented, like, modern Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Which is gigantic.
Yeah. You know Justin is really into that.
Yeah, okay.
He's a black belt now.
Crazy.
He recently got, like, promoted
Crazy.
To black belt. Yeah. But, anyways, so they had a promotion... Takada was involved in this promotion with another guy, Yoji Anjo, in the 90s. A shoot style promotion.
Explain that.
So shoot style, that's like I said, it's presented as even more real than this.
Okay.
And it's real, really, it's called stiff strikes, which is like really realistic and hard hitting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kicks and submissions and things like that.
Okay.
And you see how crazy the crowd is going.
Yeah, they're just in a frenzy right now.
Yeah, and so he's a young guy. He's like lower on the totem pole than Yatsu is too.
Yeah.
So this is like a mismatch, and so he's getting all these, you know, near pinfalls.
Right.
Which is a big deal. So anyways, Yoji Anjo, I'm going to make a long story very short. Yoji Anjo in the 90s, he challenged one of the Gracies down in Torrance at their training facility.
Mm-hmm.
To a legit fight.
Like just a straight up fight.
Yeah, and it was a big like grandstand thing. He went down there and like called him out. So they went behind closed doors and the Gracie guy, I mean, destroyed him. Like destroyed him. Totally messed him up.
Uh-huh.
Beat him up really, really bad. Takada was supposed to like kind of defend his company's honor and like he was supposed to step up and say, like, no, like, we're legitimate. Like, I can take on this Gracie guy. Like, that's what
he
should have done, and he didn't.
So.
And so the theory is that part of why that company in the 90s, it's called UWFI, started losing steam. and eventually went out of business was because, like, he was kind of exposed as, like...
Yeah, it's like a call-out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this, oh, this guy can't actually fight.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that's a look at Yatsu. He's drinking beer.
Yeah, I was just gonna... So, was the guy not... he was kind of out of it, and so the ref called the fight on that?
No, so we were kind of talking, and we missed... Yatsu gave a big pinfall.
Okay.
He gave him
saw the guy arguing with... He was arguing with the ref.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we missed that. Oh, where's that? Yeah. So.
Now who are we dealing with?
So this is Animal Hamaguchi. Now, who's a big? He's an old, like an old New Japan guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I haven't seen very much of him, because he wasn't one of the big top names. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I haven't dug super deep into the like early 80s and 70s mm-hmm. New Japan stuff. But
he looks pretty gnarly. Throwing this other guy around like a rag doll.
Yeah. So do you have, so far, do you have a favorite like portion of the match?
I don't know. Yeah, not quite.
Am I distracting you? Am I talking too
much? No, like, I like it.
Okay.
I
mean, like, you're able to focus on...
I'm able to focus, okay. Yeah. Yeah, anything that I'm not able to follow along with is not a fault of your talking. It's more just I'm not familiar.
Yeah. And you know what? Sorry, this is... Kengo Kimura, I'm sorry.
Kengo Kimura.
Yeah. So, who's also just an old New Japan guy.
Okay.
I've only seen this match once, and, like, a long time ago, so honestly, like, I barely remember.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah. So far, you've been pretty impressed with Yatsu.
Yeah. He's got a lot of character.
Yeah. He's awesome. Like, I love him.
Yeah.
He really kind of falls off a cliff in like the early 90s, and he just like kind of falls apart and stops wrestling. I don't know when he retired, but I don't remember seeing anything past like 90 or 91. But he's like really good in the 80s, like a really good tag team wrestler, and then he just kind of stops being.
Do they have the same sad, kind of deplorable lifestyle that a lot of the wrestlers from our, like, early 80s to early 90s guys did?
No.
Like, where all those guys were really sad and did a lot of bad things?
No, I mean, it's hard to say. Because again, like we
lose a lot.
Right? Yeah, there's a lot lost, but no, like in general, they're treated a little bit better by the companies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not quite the sense of being used and thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not quite like the desperation, I don't think. And also, I mean, if we're talking culturally, I think wrestling in Japan, it is treat. I mean, say what you want about it being more serious or whatever, or more like a real sport. It's treated with more reverence.
Hmm.
Like, it's covered in mainstream publications, sports stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not considered to be like a kind of like a seedy carnival show like it is in America. So like. You're starting with...
The bar is higher,
yeah. So it's, you know, whereas wrestling, it used to be attracted kind of like outlaws and just a lot of real different types of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the same in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's still like sad stories and everything, but...
Sure.
It's more...
Like, there's, I don't know, there's stories about people, like, because there was a big Yakuza, or Yakuza, I don't know how you say it, involvement, you know? And so there's, like, people getting involved in that, and...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things of that nature, but it's not quite, like, something like the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, you don't really see much of that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so much of that has to do with the American experience, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting that the ref was counts in English.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so there's little eccentricities like that.
Mm-hmm.
That I have no idea why.
There's just no, yeah, there's probably, maybe nobody has any.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it could just be a carryover, like
yeah.
someone adopted it or something.
Yeah. So this is more, you can tell how the style has changed now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
To where these are two, it's less technical holds and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's more of two big guys trading, like big powerful.
Like brawlers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like big throws and big moves and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is a really cool, interesting aspect of this match is like you see how it shifts between the wrestlers. And their opponents, you know.
Yeah, I have noticed and enjoyed that where every get together has a bit of its own flavor.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. And you'll hear that the crowd is still wild. And that building is really good for sound. Like the acoustics in it are really good. Mm-hmm. And it's a small building, but it's tall. And it I don't know. There's just the sound is really cool in it. And the one I was at wasn't even... I mean, it was like half this size, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Doug has been to some pretty packed shows here before. And he says crazy. It's like, yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah.
And so, we're ready for part two now.
So was he sarcastically applauding the guy because he had lost?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Quite a showman.
He's cool.
Yeah.
You said you enjoy him.
I do. Yeah. Yeah, him and Ricky Choshu as a tag team is like awesome. Because, yeah. I mean, you'll see Ricky Choshu in a little bit. He's pretty great, too. So this is now Animal Hamaguchi.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so cool that they rip these bouquets.
Yeah.
And then they just throw them.
It's
like a ceremonial thing.
And so sometimes there will be women in the ring to present them. And, like, Stan Hansen, there's one where he just runs and, like, destroys this little girl who's holding a bouquet of flowers. Really,
that guy is really something. I'll have to see him do something.
Yeah. I was gonna like.
All I've seen footage wise of him is some kind of hype talk where he's saying he has like 9 children and a fat wife.
Yes, yes.
So
wonderful promo.
Quite a load of charisma on that one.
I'm not into the ego trip. I've got a big fat wife and 9 kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that style.
Yeah. So yeah, you know what we may do is I may do a special, like I may make us watch 2 matches that aren't
part of this canon or whatever.
Yeah, but I bet we could knock both of those out because they're both, one of them's like 20 minutes, one of them's like 14 or 15 minutes.
I just don't want to see some eyeball getting gouged out or some.
I won't show you that match, but you do know that that's one of his favorite or one of his like legendary matches, right?
I do because it just came out of me, but I don't want to see that.
Okay, that's fine. But okay. But it was. Do you know who Vader is?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
You so told those me about two. That. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah. And so his eye pops out of the socket.
Oh.
And he sits and, like, puts it back in. But, yeah, I want you to watch what my favorite tag team match of all time is.
Okay.
Not a Stan Hansen match, but it's a different match.
Okay.
And then I want you to watch a Stan Hansen match as well.
Okay.
Was
Vader in Boy Meets World?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we've got... And of all of these guys, these are probably the two... Maybe the two least known.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. There's kind of, like... No, I don't know if that's fair to say, actually. No, I'm going to take that back. But the Animal Hamaguchi is, like... I've seen very little of him, like I said, but he is, like...
He's just cool. The guy just shoved the ref.
Yeah.
Like, pretty hard.
Yeah. So you can see, he's kind of, like, working a little bit more, too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, these two seem to be... This looks a little more, I guess you'd say, familiar to me. They're, like, bantering a lot, and...
Yeah.
The guy's doing the arm waving to the crowd and that.
Yeah. You see, he's kind of looking around.
Yeah.
So Kimura had Animal Hamaguchi up in a pile driver and looking back and forth at the crowd a little bit, you know.
Yeah, this of all of them so far has seemed the most... Western, I don't know what you'd say, but it just feels a little more familiar to me.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let me ask you a little bit more, like, you kind of went into this earlier, but describe to me what you see, as of now, what you see as the differences between Japanese wrestling and American wrestling that you're used to.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't really been much preamble to any of these. They've just gone at it, like, every match.
Uh-huh.
And, the matches have, like, there's a flow to them, but it doesn't feel as... It's not as obvious to me. Okay. Because they're not spelling everything out. Like, the American ones that I've seen, it feels like they kind of take you down... They hold your hand...
Yeah.
...through the match. So you feel when it's all coming, you know, and... and then, yeah, otherwise, I mean, the crowd is just really live the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And the way, again, outside of this match feels a lot more theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, it feels more like, quote unquote, real in the way that they're doing the holds.
Mm-hmm.
And the strikes.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like a lot of though where they're stamping it on the ground and doing the
right.
punch at the same time.
Yeah,
or the like the pronounced leg kick when he does the drop mm-hmm. on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a little more like that, but the other one it feels more like a realistic fighting style.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You know that's so because I assume what you're referring to largely is like a Hulk Hogan match, for instance.
Yeah.
Where you see Hulk Hogan get beaten up, but then he does his Hulk up
and comes back. Yeah. Right? Or yeah. Like they start the match by having a back and forth.
Yeah.
And they get the crowd on whoever's side, and then the hero goes down and then he rises.
Yeah.
And I'm following all that.
Yeah.
And understanding it all very clearly.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty, like, dumb.
Yeah. That's, like... I mean, even that's, like... That's pretty, pretty insightful. Like, a lot of people I don't think are even able to articulate that.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder if that's, like, maybe how they were able to... Because, like, when I was a child, I liked that stuff. But I also liked... superheroes.
Yeah.
And that's how it was, like, packaged
yeah.
to me.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. they were, like, superheroes.
Yeah.
So they took that story, the just the classic myth, right?
I mean, yeah.
into the, how they told the story, like, through the fight.
Yeah.
This seems to assume a little bit more fighter intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know a little bit more to dig into some of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the one we're currently watching, I feel like I can follow a little more. But if it makes any sense, it's like the least interesting so far.
Yeah, so you're referring to this match as Kengo Kimura versus Animal Hamaguchi. Compared to the other matches that
exactly.
we've seen in the Gauntlet so
exactly.
far.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's the most theatrical, but it's the least interesting so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what you said about WWF, though, that's absolutely true. In that, like, that's how they were able to market and get themselves as big as they were, because it's very broad strokes and very simple, easy to follow storylines for children.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you can put that right on the shelf next to Spider-Man, and it's fine. And like,
yeah.
We all understand.
Yeah.
You know that. So.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're even.
Yes.
Okay.
So now Jordan. So the person in there now against Animal Hamaguchi
is just raging.
So that is Yoshiaki Fujiwara.
Okay.
One of my very, very favorite wrestlers of all time.
Okay.
No, I mean, Stan Hansen is he's my number one.
Yeah, yeah.
But Yoshiaki Fujiwara is, like, not far behind.
Okay.
Like, I love him. He still wrestles.
Dude.
And he looks like E.T.
Oh.
Like, it's disgusting. Oh. But it's, like, it's so good. He's also, like, probably one of the very toughest and most legitimate wrestlers ever.
Okay.
Like, he was trained, so, you don't know the name Carl Gotch?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
First of all, if listeners hear pounding, that's something going on outside, and who knows what that is. We're in an industrial warehouse space, so
yeah.
It's, you know, who knows. But it's probably going to really affect the audio, but oh well. Oh well. So Fujiwara.
Fujiwara.
So he was trained by this guy, Carl Gotch, who's... catch wrestling, does that sound familiar?
No.
So it's all, that's like where a lot of like the modern holds come from.
Okay.
So it's like developed from amateur wrestling and like British styles of wrestling too. But yeah, a lot of the holds and everything.
Okay.
He was already like a real high end like judo.
Fujiwara?
Yeah. What's the term? Judoka, I guess, is the...
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone who...
who
know, a practitioner of judo. A really high-level judoka. And, like, a good kickboxer as well.
Prior to his career as a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. So he's, like, very...
Super athletic
very
and, like, knows how to fight.
Yeah. but he's also, like... he's got, like, a weird body.
Yeah, I know that.
And the way he moves it and everything is, like... I love it. So he was another guy... who left New Japan to start this other that first shoot style promotion, UWF it was called.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is he an invader?
No, so he's on the New Japan side
okay.
now.
Okay. But later he does that.
Yeah, and Takada was also on the New Japan side.
Okay.
But then left. And so that and see the way he headbutts?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's cool. He's working the crowd pretty heavy.
So heavy.
So at this point, is he a fan favorite, like,
yeah.
already?
Yeah. But then... Oh, go ahead.
I was just asking, he has this, like, is it a bandage on his head?
Yeah.
And the guy's, like, trying to rip it off.
Yeah. So he was bleeding, you know, sometime earlier, maybe yesterday or,
okay.
you know,
okay.
in a very recent match.
Okay. And this guy's... Is he biting his head?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
this one's going pretty heavy.
Yeah. So Fujiwara, like, you see the real theatrical way he does his headbutts, you know?
Yeah.
But then he'll work a shoot-style match, which is, you know, supposed
it's
to be more realistic.
Hard and, like, straightforward. But...
And so then he does, like, a normal headbutt, you know? So it's,
mm-hmm.
like, stuff like that. He's, like, I, like, love him so
well,
much.
Even in this match, it has that theatrical feel, but this guy seems a good deal more charismatic than the last guy. Yeah. So it feels, yes, theatrical, but it's, I think it's a lot more smooth, and it feels like a fight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he, so, that he eventually comes back in a couple years, so he leaves New Japan, and then he comes back as an invader himself, with that UWF group.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so he gets this guy.
No, it was a two count. Oh, he didn't get him.
Me.
Yeah, see? You see him like. So he comes back along with Takada and a few other people as an invader to New Japan. And so that, they have like another real famous gauntlet match.
And was everyone really happy about that?
Well, yeah, but there was like, there's a lot of like weird political stuff and like, they left on bad terms, but then they came back and they were okay and they stayed with the company for a while and everything. But, but that feud, UWF versus New Japan, that's like, that's one of my very favorite things in wrestling of all time. That, like, I've seen, you know, most of that, like, all the big matches, of course, but most of all the in-between stuff, too. And he's really great in that. And then they transitioned to some other stuff, like, so all throughout, you know, 86 through, like, 91 New Japan, I know real well. I like a lot of
this. Yeah.
But it's cool to see him and Takada on one side, and then they come back later.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know? Yeah. But, you know, again, that, like, New Japan, because, I mean, this is, like, a huge deal, you can see.
Right.
And so they started using these gauntlet matches as a real, and tag team elimination matches as well as these big, huge main events.
Mm-hmm.
And they really depended on those and like kind of built a lot of stuff off of those.
You can see why. Yeah. So this man still wrestles.
Fujiwara, yeah.
Gnarly.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, he kind of barely does anything.
Yeah.
But he's also like, he's in surprisingly good shape. I mean, as far as movement, I guess. I mean, he doesn't, I don't know. It's hard to say because he's 70 years old.
Yeah, right. I mean.
But he also didn't take, because he, a lot of his stuff is just wrestled on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not these huge falls that he's taking and
right, and
all that. So it's like, for, you know, being 70 years old and this being like him wrestling for 40 years or whatever.
Or that's 50 pretty years incredible, or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's in better shape than, you know, some people.
Yeah.
Ripped
ET or whatever.
No, not even ripped. Oh, like no. just ET.
ET.
Yeah, because he's got these skinny little arms and legs.
Yeah.
But
this weird kind of like long trunk.
Yeah, and his nose, like his face kind of gets scrunched up, you know?
Yeah.
But he's had a career in pornography, of course, as well. So, you know, he's done a lot of things.
Oh, he's a real nuanced, real renaissance man.
Truly, yeah. So, you see, it's a double count out.
Because he was out of the ring?
They're both out of the ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
What constitutes being out of the ring? Because the other guy had half his body in the ring.
Yeah, so like, outside of the ropes.
Got it.
Yeah. But Fujiwara, he actually had one of my favorite matches of a couple years ago.
Well, you like all the absurdist.
Well, yes. So this is what it was. It was, so there's a wrestler, Masahiro Kakihara, his name was.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Just really quick about that last match.
Yeah, sorry.
How come Fujiwara, how come he was pleased with that outcome and the other man was very upset?
I have no idea.
Because he was pointing to the crowd and like thumbs up, and
the
other guy was like furious.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know.
Interesting.
So this is Ricky Choshu now.
Okay.
So you can see already.
Yeah.
Like, look at him. You
yeah,
know?
It's going.
And he's, like, good looking. He's got, like, cool long hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the crowd is about to explode.
Yeah. And so who he's fighting is Antonio Inoki. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
No.
So, one of the three most famous people in Japanese wrestling history.
Okay.
The owner of New Japan. The other two would be probably Giant Baba, who, big surprise, is like another one of my absolute favorites.
You don't even have to explain.
Yeah. and then Ricky Dozen, who is the founder of Japanese pro wrestling. The first real guy to do it. Anyways, Antonio Inoki, he challenged Muhammad Ali to matches, and they had match boxer versus wrestler matches, which consisted of, like, the famous one, you know, really consisted of Antonio Inoki laying on the ground and kicking Muhammad Ali's legs for, like,
I heard about this.
Yeah, yeah. I've never even seen them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, honestly,
like, forever, right?
Yeah,
like,
for so long.
Going on his legs.
Yeah, and it's, like, terrible.
Yeah.
I've never watched the whole matches. Yeah. I think there's several of them.
Yeah.
But I've never...
I've heard of that.
I kind of have no desire to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, like... Look at this.
I mean, yeah, this is already... There's a lot more, like, preamble or whatever.
Yeah.
And the streamers were going crazy, by the way, for these guys.
Yeah. And it's like, it's very convenient. Like, oh... The last two guys, they both get counted out, then we have this main event.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so Antonio Inoki, like I said, look at the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, very, very famous and all that. I don't like him very much. He's very legitimate and everything, but a lot of times it's just really boring.
Mm.
Do
you like the other man?
Ricky Choshu?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. Like, you can feel, if you watch him coming in and out of promotions, you can feel how as soon as he arrives, everything just changes.
Hmm.
And it's like instantly everything's like wilder and faster and louder, and you know,
mm-hmm.
he's like a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. But anyways, a little Fujiwara story. So a couple of years ago, there's a guy named Masahiro Kakehara who had cancer, some kind of cancer, and fought it and came back, and they did a.
And that's real, right?
Yeah, yeah, and they did a show for him, kind of like, just like a celebration. Show for him,
mm-hmm.
and he had a match. It was just an exhibition grappling match with Fujiwara.
Oh no!
And
this was, when was this?
This was 2016.
I think. Not that long ago.
Or 17, even, maybe even 2017. Yeah, just a year or so ago. And the match, like I said, it was like a 10-minute grappling exhibition,
mm-hmm.
and. Fujiwara wouldn't let. So what it is they grapple and they put each other in submit. They make each other tap out.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And it's like, it's just how many times, you know, can you do it?
Yeah.
Fujiwara wouldn't let him get like any holds on him, and just repeatedly just tapped him out constantly.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So just was this planned?
I don't know. I mean, the presentation is such that they were having an actual grappling exhibition.
Sure.
And it looked like it, kind of, but I'm also, you know, someone like Justin would be able to tell you.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean...
You probably loved that.
I loved it. And what was awesome about it was, like I said, it's a 10-minute exhibition, so there's no stakes, nothing matters, it's like...
Yeah.
And it's just them rolling around on the mat.
Sure.
But they're able to get the crowd so involved because they realize, like, oh yeah, Fujiwara, like, he's just eating this poor cancer survivor alive.
Yeah.
And so the crowd gets so into it, wanting to see Kakihara get any kind of hold on him. And he gets like two holds the whole time. And the crowd like just, really goes crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point, Fujiwara has him in some kind of, you know, some kind of hold like that, where he's kind of leaning back on him. Mm-hmm. And Fujiwara goes like this. He pretends to smoke a cigar and then tap the ashes out on him.
Oh my gosh, I'll bet you were dying.
Oh, fell off the couch. Yeah. Oh, unreal.
Wow. And at that point, the guy is in his late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah. Hmm. Awesome. But like he has like a really awesome, great match with Riki Choshu later in the decade and stuff. But anyway, so... What have you been seeing so far?
In this particular one?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, it's hard for me to tell who the crowd favorite is.
Yeah.
Because the crowd's just, like, going.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like what they want, which is... These are two pretty behemoth guys that are just, like... It seems like more of an even style... match to me, like a Clash of the Titans type thing.
So it's a lot. It's holds.
Yeah.
But they're able to get over like how big it feels and a big kind of struggle. So like big sense of struggle.
Yeah, it just feels like power.
Yeah. Look at that.
Can someone who is adept at, someone who loves wrestling like yourself and watches a lot of it, can you tell when they actually get hurt in the course of a match?
Sometimes it's really obvious and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad at that kind of stuff in general.
Yeah.
Stuff like, oh, you can see him really helping him out here. A lot of that stuff, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing.
Except for that Rock Cena match.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because if I could even tell him
that. Yeah, yeah. Real obvious examples like that. But, I mean, there's... I'm trying to think of like a real obvious example. So, okay. I mean, there's a match. Psycho Sid, does that name sound familiar to you? Or Sid Vicious, or Sid Justice.
Not really? Not really, no.
But he was a wrestler in the 90s.
This isn't one of the guys that was crying on the video camera about, why did you kill your...
About Chris Benoit?
Yeah.
No, that would have been Honky Tonk Man and New Jack.
New Jack.
Yeah. So, no, it was not. And Iron Sheik, right? Sheik. Yeah, that's...
And you can't understand what he's saying.
No, of course not. No, so Psycho Sid, he's really big guy. 6'10 or something, and like curly blonde hair, but really big. So there's a match where he tries like, I forget, it's something off one of the ropes, and he breaks his leg.
Oh.
And I mean like...
That is sick.
So I mean, obviously, I can tell he actually got hurt.
But, in that instance, are they still going? Did they still go?
In that, they like...
They kind of just petered it out, right?
Yeah. I
mean, your leg is broken.
I think. You know what? I don't even think I've ever seen that actual match before. So, actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, there's... Sometimes they'll call an audible, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll, either, like, maybe they'll end the match early,
if
or
if the guy's like, I'm out, like...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm really hurting.
Yeah, or they'll try to like change the match around or something. So this is that hold that he's putting on. That's his signature hold.
Okay.
Yeah, the Scorpion Deathlock. It's called. Deathlock. Or like, do you know who Bret Hart is?
Yes.
He used that one too. The Sharpshooter. Sharpshooter. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like So they were doing a lot of these holds, and then they started like throwing each other, like I don't know what you would call it, but they're picking each other up and
yeah,
body slamming each other.
Yeah.
But it seemed pretty even.
Yeah, a lot of back and forth.
Power. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you're not seeing like when Fujinami had his injury to his arm and his hand, and so everyone is working on
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's much more even, and they're like working in and out of hold.
And they're shifting the tide just keeps kind of shifting.
Yeah. So he now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see Antonio Inoki. He turned a scorpion deathlock into like a leg hold. I don't know a lot of the names either for like that. Yeah. If it's a knee, maybe it's a knee bar. Hmm. I think I'm not sure. But
and now he's just like going on him. Now they're going on each other pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So when the ref is like and they're holding each other and the ref's just hitting on one of the guys a bunch, is he saying like, "Are you submitting? Or are you gonna like what is he? What is he getting at?"
So he. So they have, like in that situation, like, they have, when they're in the ropes, they have, if two people are in a hold, and they're in the ropes,
mm-hmm.
there's, the person who is applying the hold has 5 seconds to let go, or it's a disqualification.
Hmm.
So it's like, so he's probably saying, like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, okay, let him go.
Yeah, okay. But when they're on the ground and the one guy looks like he's in pain, he's in the hold, and the ref's, like, tapping on him.
Yeah, like saying, okay, do you give up? Or
is that what he's doing, yeah. like? Yeah, I'm pretty impressed that the sustained energy level of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a long time to be going.
Yeah.
And there really hasn't been any kind of let up.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of like the all-time great crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually, so, I mean, this is a long match. How do you think the time has gone? I mean, like, has this been dragging for you?
No, I don't, I mean, to be honest, I was expecting it to.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like there's been enough there
mm-hmm.
to kind of propel it. Yeah, like I said, each match has had its own kind of like style or direction.
Yeah.
So you're not just watching the same
yeah.
kind of dog and pony show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what you would think of a match. Well, and you will have that answered. That is long like this, but it's just two people, like just a singles match. You know.
That'll be interesting.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. Yeah, we do have some long matches coming up.
It feels like they want the short-haired guy to win. Is that true?
Yeah, Inoki. Yeah, because, you know, Choshu, he's the... Everyone loves him, but he's still the invader, you know?
Okay.
And
yeah.
Antonio Inoki is like... I mean, he's like a real-deal celebrity.
Okay.
You know? Over there, so, you know. And I love the way he when he comes off the top rope... You know how he doesn't get up and stand up? And
yeah, yeah.
He just uses it as like a jumping off.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. And so this is like, you can tell how different this match is than the other ones before it.
Definitely, yeah.
It
feels like what it is, which is, it feels like there's something really at stake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you see how people, like, you see Antonio Inoki, a lot of this match has been, like, holds and kind of stuff.
Yes.
Can you see how people would not like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's more nuance to it.
Yeah.
So it loses me, you know, like, when it gets too involved like that.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of times, Inoki, like, he'll put on a hold and they'll just kind of lay there for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I don't know, people have real strong opinions on the guy. Some of it, like, I like some of his matches, I don't like others. That's kind of all.
What's he checking on?
You know, I'm not sure. Could be time or...
Are there other referees?
Yeah, so the match has ended.
Because the guy, like, the guy passed out?
Think so. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm,
So, again, is this plan?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, like, he didn't give up.
Got it.
Choshu didn't give up, which is, like, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, definitely. But the other guy did win, and everyone's pretty excited.
Yeah. So, it's still not... Because the big thing about matches, like Japanese matches in the 80s and stuff, and before then, like up to this point, is not a lot of clean finishes, that's called. So it's a lot of like double count outs or disqualifications or someone, you know, like the ref calling it or something.
But it's not you pinning the guy or whatever.
Or making him submit. Yeah, so that's like a big thing that And actually, the UWF, you know, the shoot style promotion, that they really changed that, and they started having all, because it was all like submissions, and so that led to other promotions adopting that same style.
Right.
I mean, famously, All Japan, which we'll see in a few matches from now, All Japan started having only clean finishes, where they would always a double count out or disqualification or something.
Interesting.
You know? And so they shifted. So we have our hometown boys here. And we get a highlight package. But, that's all right. Well, we don't have to watch this. That's the end of the match. And of course, as soon as we turn that off, some other tools.
Yeah, there's some
drill
like
or
some
something starts
power
up.
Tools, yeah.
Okay, so to finish up here, we've got our few questions.
Yeah.
First question, general thoughts on the match.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining. I wasn't sure what to expect because of the length.
Yeah.
But the first of all, they really propelled it. There wasn't really a lot of baby fat on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can get down with the showmanship and all that, but it's nice when they just go and, like, they just make it move forward.
Yeah.
And that every little sub-match had its own style was important, in my opinion.
Yeah. Cool. Question two, did you like it? Why or why not? Did you like the match?
I liked parts of it. I really liked I liked the invaders.
Uh-huh. Their side more.
Yeah, I liked the guy who was drinking the beer.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yatsu. Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty, that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
He was entertaining. I liked the style that he, because it wasn't over the top, but it was just kind of interesting. And, I mean, there was enough to go around for things you can kind of get interested in and watch. So, like you said, would I have appreciated a match of any one of, or two of those going for a whole hour? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. I don't know though. But I thought there was enough character to it. I liked it better than the one before.
Okay.
The one before was epic in its own kind of way, but... this one I could follow a little bit more, and it had more variety for me.
Do you think the crowd and the commentary helped this match?
Definitely.
In a way that the other one did not, even though they're both not in English?
Yeah, definitely. I think the commentary was a big difference. It helped guide me a little bit.
Yeah.
and the crowd was, I liked the other crowd better in the ways of, like, just how esoteric that was and bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this has, like, a film.
Yeah.
The other crowd was way more interesting.
Yeah.
There were no single shots of any crowd members in this one, mm-hmm. and there was no real identity to it.
Yeah.
But they were just going the entire time, and that was cool, and that helped the match. So, like, you didn't notice the crowd other than the energy they brought to the match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's different. I guess the answer would be I don't know which crowd I liked better, but the crowd in this helped make the match better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, next question, what was the story the wrestlers were trying to convey? Did you get any sense of an overarching narrative of the entire match?
Not really, other than if you wouldn't have said anything, I think I would be... I was drawn to the invaders,
mm-hmm.
and they seemed more, like, lawless
to okay, me. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was kind of getting
at. Okay, so, like, if I mean, you're just going to have to excuse my ignorance. I don't really know, but, like, it felt like they were more lawless, and their style...
Mm-hmm.
Just felt like it had more like swagger.
It was it was a little wilder, right?
Yeah,
with Animal Hamaguchi and Yatsu and Ricky Choshu.
Exactly,
yeah.
And there was more of like a carefree. I don't know. A lot of the home team. I don't know what you'd call it, but the non-invader
mm-hmm.
guys, like they seemed they just seemed more buttoned down.
Yeah.
And like real clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look to them and more friendly. And so it did feel like the invaders, they conveyed that to me, that they were coming into someone's house. You know, like that's how it felt. Like,
yeah.
In that way.
Yeah. All right. Can you see why this match is considered one of the greatest of all time?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't know how many matches of that length and with that many people would hold my, I mean, I am like the lay person for this.
Yeah.
And it sustained me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't imagine that'd be across the board. Well, I don't think we could turn on any
right
hour plus match with, you know, 10 guys or however many guys, and I would be able to like follow that.
Yeah.
And in another language, nonetheless. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't have the language to guide me. You had to fill in the story, but with whatever holes there were, it was still pretty sustainable,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the crowd was telling me how important it was too, you know,
yeah.
they were really live. So,
yeah. And the last question you answered already. So in terms of ranking, you would put this above Sangre Chicana versus MS1?
Yeah, I would. Okay. I couldn't really give you a scientific answer as to why.
No, you don't have to.
But yeah, it just felt... there was an air of like importance to it.
Yeah.
That you could feel.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't want to knock the other one because I know production value and language plays into that.
Yeah, sure.
So I mean, it just... The other one seemed a little more like... haphazard.
Yeah, yeah.
This was pretty put together, and,
yeah.
And they were going, and there was a focus to it that the other one didn't have, in, you know, in my view.
Yeah, good. Very interesting. All right. Well, so this, I do like this match a lot. It's, like I said, there's an elimination match, a tag team elimination match, and a gauntlet match from 1986, where it's New Japan versus UWF, that I actually like better. This is generally considered by most people to be the better of the matches between like if you're comparing them, and like the best New Japan match of the 80s, best New Japan match of all time, best match of all time, best multi-man match of all time. You know, this gets like a lot of
praise. It's in those short lists.
Yeah, I think I probably like MS1 versus Sangre Chicana better. But I mean, this is awesome. This is a favorite match of mine as well.
Yeah, so. That MS1 was very interesting.
And yeah.
It felt more like cinematic.
Yeah.
That felt more like watching a short film to me.
Yeah.
Than watching a wrestling match.
There's real bizarre elements to it.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
Yeah. And like we talked about last time, the downgrading of the guy that was coming in really good looking with the blonde hair, and he's just, his face is just black at the end, and the black hair, and the grandmas, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It that felt more like a David Lynch movie or something. Mm-hmm. But as a wrestling match from an outside perspective, I mean, this one felt like, if I had to guess who thought, like, which one was more important, I would guess this one.
Yeah.
That'd just be my blind amateur guess. But.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all my questions. Jordan, do you have any plugs? Is there anywhere where the listeners at home can get scans of your fingerprints?
No, I don't think so. I hope not. I don't have any plugs.
Okay. Well, you can follow me on Twitter @_burningspirits. And that's all. All right.
What about the zine?
Oh, yeah. The zine is coming out, or is out. I think they're shipping already. You can get that at kaijuclutch.bigcartel.com. I wrote an article about Masashi Takeda. So, anyways, I forget the name of the zine. kaijuclutch.bigcartel.com. I wrote an article about his current championship reign and the current couple years that he's had wrestling, and I relate that to like the what's happened in history and similar promotions. So if you're interested in that, buy that _burning spirits
I think so.
On Twitter, and that's all. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we will be back next time with another installment of You Don't Know Billy Jack. Goodbye, Jordan.
Bye.